Now, this morning, I want to talk about something that's kind of related to what I just said, but at the same time, it's a warning that the Bible warns us about all the time, yet people just don't get it. People don't understand, or they don't want to understand. Because the devil has done a great job of disguising evil as something repulsive. He's done a great job of that. Through movies and literature and through just the conceptions of people, and they think wickedness and evil, and that's got to be something that I consider all repulsive and hideous. But how far down can that go? It can go way down, can't it? Because the people that are just average out in the world, their idea of hideous and repulsive evil is something a lot lower than what we would consider it, isn't it? Let's talk about the devil. And let's understand that the most deceptive form of evil is not repulsive, but enticing. It's not something that we repel at, but it is something we gravitate toward. The devil is not stupid. The devil's not coming with pitchforks and pointed and horns and a pointed tail in some red jumpsuit. He's not coming as some disgusting monster. No, no, no. The devil is coming as something enticing. The Bible warns us of that repeatedly. The typical representations of evil that we see are just disgusting. They're the hideous monsters. They're the cowboys with the black hats and the sinister looking faces. They're the ideas in our mind that we get is just disgusting. Oh, I'd never touch that. I'd never go near that. That's not what evil presents itself as, though. While the results of evil are often reveal itself for what it is, we can see the results of evil. We can see the results of that enticement, because there's a lot of them sitting in prisons now. There are things we look at and we go, oh, that is repulsive. That's disgusting. I can't believe. But they didn't get there in one fell swoop. No, the devil dangled something enticing in front of them. He snared them with something that they liked, not something so repulsive that they would reject it right away. That comes later. That's way at the end. The hooks of evil are alluring enticements that draw into the snare. And this is what most people, they just ignore. They don't even think about it. They don't care about it. No, that can't be evil. That's too sweet. Or that's too nice. Or that's too bright. It can't be wicked. It can't be evil. The temptations of Satan are vast and varied, as vast and varied as the personalities of different people. All people have different personalities, different ways of doing things. They're all different. And the temptations of Satan are just as varied as that. But he has three categories from which he draws all those temptations. The devil is subtle. He draws through subtlety. Deception, he draws through deception, and he uses fear. These are the three ways in which the devil tempts and draws. And the Bible talks about those ways. We know about the devil's subtlety, don't we? The very beginning we find out how subtle the devil is by when he tempts Eve. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." We talked about that not long ago. Preached from that very text. The subtleties of the devil So is the devil going to come bursting through in disgusting form? No. Not if he's being subtle. You need to understand something very, very basic, really. The devil wears a white hat. The devil doesn't come riding in with a sinister look on his face and scars and a black hat and a black vest and coming in to shoot up the town. That's not how the devil arrives. He comes, he's wearing a white hat. Do most people accept that? Do most people understand that? No. The guy with the white hat, he's the good guy. So they instantly give over to it. That's how most people are with the devil and his subtleties. They give over to him. They think just because he's got a white hat on, everything's fine. But he's subtle. Now the serpent, this is what Paul was referring to as the devil beguiling Eve. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? He's subtle. He didn't come out and tell Eve, nah, God's lying. He said, did God really say that? Is that what God said? You sure he meant that? No, here, look, I'm trying to help. You know, they eat the fruit of this tree, it'll make you wise. All the allurements that he gave and he put forth to Eve to disobey God was subtle. He didn't come right out and just blaspheme God. He didn't come right out and just say, oh, this is the way, this is the way. God doesn't know what he's talking about. No, he put the doubt in Eve's mind, just like Paul is warning the Corinthians, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is, from the straightforwardness. We talked about that. From the directness, from that pathway, that single-minded pathway, which is Christ. He wants to pull you out of that. But he does it subtly. A single-minded pathway says, God hath said. The devil says, hath God said? Subtlety. The devil uses great subtlety. Now there's many forms of that, aren't there? Many forms we look around and there's not so much just blaspheming God. We walk out into the day, we go about our business, and we are peppered from all around, not by God didn't say that, but by hath God said? Does that really mean we can't do that? Or do we really have to do that? The subtleties of the devil through which he beguiled Eve. So he tempted Eve through his subtlety there to disobey God. The first person to ever disobey God was deceived by the devil through his subtleties. Go ahead and eat. It's going to make you wise. It's going to make its desire, it looks good. It looks like it's good. Go ahead and eat of it. It's all right. God didn't think it was all right. The devil deceived Eve through his subtlety. He deceives most professing Christians in this day. Indeed, even worldlings who think they are just fine and right with God, but they couldn't care less about God. They like to put that stamp that above the door. But when it comes right down to it, they don't have time for God. They don't care about God. They don't read the Word. They don't study Him. They don't pray. Who are these people that think they can do all this and yet ignore and still be right with God? God told some, how dare you take up my word in your mouth? The devil's subtlety. If subtlety doesn't work, then he builds upon that. He's already been subtle. If you think the devil hasn't been subtle with you, you're already deceived. The devil is subtle. And if that doesn't work and get him to the point that he wants you to get you, he moves on to deception. And he tries to deceive. Paul, in the same chapter, he's talking to the Corinthians just a little bit later. He says, for these false teachers, he said, they're false apostles, deceitful workers. They transform themselves into the apostles of Christ. What does that mean? If they transform them, they make themselves appear as though they're the disciples or the apostles of Christ. And Paul tells the Corinthians, don't be surprised about this. Don't marvel. If the devil himself is transformed into an angel of light, here you go, white hat. He's an angel, he's wearing a white hat. He's not gross and detestable. He comes in as light. For if Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Oh, they're teaching righteousness. Yes, we believe Jesus. Yes, we're teaching the Word. Are they though? Or are they distracting? Is there this great deception that's coming forth? Too often there's a great deception. Too often the devil has disguised himself in order to deceive the masses. And people gobble it up like it's wonderful. Oh, the devil will never deceive me. You're already deceived. Adam Clark said, we need to fear the white devil even more than the black one. When somebody comes in with a white hat and teaches you something different than you've been taught, that's the devil. That's the devil. Somebody rides in on a white stallion, big white hat, white suit, shiny six guns going to protect the town. You better watch out who's protecting you. Do they speak contrary to the Word? Do they speak in opposition to those real things of righteousness? You know, because when the devil comes in, he talks about the ministers of righteousness. Oh, what is that? It's all built up on a fake foundation of usually tolerance or giving you what you want. Oh, don't let those people tell you that. Don't worry about the Bible. Now, they're not going to come out, especially people, you know, wearing the white hat. He's not just going to say, don't worry about the Bible. What is he going to say? Does the Bible really say that? Does the Bible really say women should wear head coverings? Does it really say that? Does the Bible really say we should dress modestly? Oh, what is modest? Well, in today's standards, shorts and tank tops are modest because most people wear less than that. What's God's standards? That's where people push this thing in the white hat. Oh, no, we just care about you. We want you to be happy. We want you to have the things that you would like to have. Does the Bible really say you can't do that? Does the Bible really say you have to do it that way? Deceptions. White hats. We need to fear the white devil even more than the black one, said Adam Clark. Satan conceals his deeds under the guise of an angel clothed in light. And as it is with him, so with his instruments. When people cast doubt in your mind, or when people use subtlety like the serpent did, they're just working for the devil, whether they know it or not, whether they're all religious or not. If they're telling you something contrary to what the Bible teaches, clearly, they're antichrists. They're teaching opposed to Jesus. Deception. Most people don't understand that. And they think everything that comes to them in the guise of Jesus, oh, well, at least they're nice people. Oh, well, the devil, Eve could have said that to the devil. Oh, he's just trying to help. He's just trying to help. He's just nice people. He just cares about me. He wants me to have, you know, the desires of my heart. Really? No, it's deception. But he likes me. No, he doesn't. He hates your guts. And the devil is going to use any means he can to deceive. Subtlety, deception, fear. The devil has been masterful at trying to get us to focus on one thing while he slips in the back door. Let's watch the front door. Make sure he doesn't bust through. Everybody's got it guarded. They got all their ammo, all their arms pointed in one direction, ready to blast that devil if he comes in the front door. Well, what's he do? He sneaks in the back door, points his weapons in the same direction, pats you on the shoulder. We're going to get him. Meanwhile, let's do this and let's do that. Meanwhile, oh, you don't need to worry about that and that. We're watching that devil. We're watching. He ain't coming in that front door. Meanwhile, they're so deceived they can't even see straight. The devil has already come in and compromised the situation. And you're defeated. Deceived. They got the devil on their team, fighting against the what's perceived as the devil. When God says he's an angel of light, he's not coming as that hideous beast. No, no, no. That's results of the evil, like I said. The most receptive form of evil is not repulsive, but enticing. So what else does he use if deception fails? And these things don't have to fail. He can use all of these different things. But as a progression, if deception fails, then he turned to fear. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, Peter tells us. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh about, or walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The roaring lion is strike fear in your heart. Here he is, he's coming against you. Your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he can devour. Who's he going to devour? He's going to devour those that he has already been subtle with, he has walked through the steps of deception with, and now they're all facing the front door wanting to destroy the devil when he comes in, but guess what? The lion's behind you. He's come in the back door and he's about to gobble you up. And the fear that he instills is paralyzing. It's all encompassing. Because now you realize I'm in a trap. I've been trapped. Now what do I do? You know, the Proverbs make mention of wicked kings ruling through fear. Proverbs 28:15, the Bible says, as a roaring lion and a raging bear, so is a wicked ruler over the poor people. Who are the poor people? The ones that have given over to this king. The ones who are subject to this king. A roaring lion. Who are the poor people in this? In the analogy of Satan that we're talking about here? They're the ones that have allowed him in the back door. They're the ones that have dropped their defenses and is focusing on forward and expecting the devil to come in some elaborate Hollywood costume made up like some monster. That's what they're watching for. But they've been taken. They're poor people. Then the king is ruling over them. Roaring, keeping their hearts petrified in fear. Now, this don't have to ideate itself out in real fear. This could just ideate itself out in, well, okay, just going about their your normal everyday business. Too fearful to turn back to the Bible. Too fearful to go back inside the confines of God's grace. Most people wouldn't call that fear. Most people would call that independence. But the devil has them petrified because, wow, if I go back to the Bible, I'm going to find out I should probably be doing some of the things I'm doing. If I go back into the confines of God's grace, I might find out that, well, the things that I like and are fun, I can't do anymore. Fear. Still fear. A roaring lion. This fear that he tries to propel into the hearts to keep you from returning to God. And a raging bear. What does a raging bear do? Walks about. Confining, keeping in, a raging bear moves his prey to where he wants it. It's a wicked ruler over the people. But unlike a ruling king, you are the only one who can give the devil this power. At any point and any time, you can say, enough of the devil. I don't care if you're wearing a white hat. I don't care how beautiful and alluring you are. I'm going back to God. I'm going to intentionally and purposefully wrap myself in His grace, in which the only way I can do that is submitting to Him. I'm not going to be afraid of God. I'm not going to be afraid to dive back into the Scriptures and find out that, well, wait, if God doesn't want me doing that, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be afraid to dive back into God's will and say, well, if God wants me to, that's the way I'm going to go then. That's the way God wants. People are scared of that because they think, oh, well, I'm going to miss out. I'm not going to have any fun. Something's going to go, I'm not going to get my way. And it's those people who end up, in the end, crying for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. But right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we have the remedy to all the devil's wiles. Right here amongst Peter's warning, we have the remedy to get over it, to get through it, to get beyond it, to turn back, if we need to turn back, to remain in, if we are to remain in, if that's where we are. Peter says, be sober. Now that's an interesting command. And don't be deceived, that's what it is. It's the Bible isn't full of wonderful suggestions. The Bible's full of commands. That if you follow those commands, it's going to come out okay in the end. If you treat be sober, be vigilant as some suggestion, that white-hatted devil's going to deceive you every time. It's not a good suggestion you can follow at your leisure. It's a command. Be sober. What do you think about when you think sober? It's the opposite of sober. Drunkenness. What do you see? You've all seen either someone acting like or drunk. Is he paying attention to what's going on? Does he have a clue of what's really happening? No, he staggers around. He can't even voice himself properly. He's not paying attention to anything. The drunkenness has taken over his senses. It has overpowered him. He's out of control with drunkenness. Those spirits which he has put into himself. You know, it's interesting they call strong drink spirits. Isn't that interesting? I think it is. But he has poured this into himself and it has diluted his mind. It has turned him into something that is inconceivable, that even he himself, not in that state, would think is repulsive. That's what he's become. He's drunk. Is Peter telling people don't drink wine here? Is that what his intent is? Be sober. Don't go drinking. Don't go out to the bar room and have too many. Is that what he's saying? No. So what's going to make us drunk if we don't drink that stuff? The allurements of the world. Those dangling things. And it does the same thing. If you listen to the devil, Eve became drunk on the allurements of that tree. Because of the subtleties of the devil. She became drunk. Her mind was not proper. You know, if her and Adam would just been sitting around talking and something, that conversation would have come up. Oh, both of them would. Oh, that's awful. But the devil was subtle. He attacked Eve right at her weakest point, and he made her drunk with the allurements of the world. Be sober. Keep your mind right. Keep your mind concentrated on the Word of God. If Eve would have remained what God said, she wouldn't have been drunk. If she'd have stayed sober in that moment, she'd have never eaten of that tree. Hath God said? Yes, God did say. That's what He said. So how did He get her drunk? She was already interested in that tree, wasn't she? So you think the devil's going to come up in his white hat and offer you something that is no temptation to you? Would he come up and offer us whiskey? Here, drink this whiskey. It's good stuff. There's no allurement there. We're like, get that out of here. We don't drink that. No. He's going to come with something subtle. Something we might more like. Something more to our tastes. So be sober. Keep your minds on the Word of God, not on my own desires and worldly aspirations. Be sober. Be vigilant. Keep awake. Stay awake. Keep your mind occupied on the Word of God, not on all these things and different things that we can look at and entertain ourselves with that that can put us to sleep, that can take away our time, that can use up the valuable time that we should be spending with God. Stay awake. Keep awake. Be vigilant. Always watchful. Never off your guard. The devil's always alert. He's always on guard. He's always watching. That's how he knows most people are paying attention to the front door. Got all their guns pointed at the front door. They're off their guard because he sneaks in the back. Puts on a white hat and appears to be fighting with you, while all the time he's destroying you. Be vigilant. Be sober. If most people were these two things, and these two things alone, most of the devil's attacks wouldn't work. If we're sober and not drunk with the allurements of the world, we're not going to be taken in. If we're awake and watchful, on guard, Satan coming in as an angel of light is not going to deceive us. If the devil tried to twist the scriptures to Jesus. Is he not going to do that with us? Those people, of course, you know, most Christians don't even open their Bibles. Most people who call themselves Christians don't even crack their Bibles. They don't even never look at it. I've known Christians that have a Bible that's never been opened. They'll carry with them to church to look all pious in their arms. They sit down a few next to them and sit there and daydream through the sermon. Don't open the Bible. Paul said, search the scriptures to be sure that these things that I say are true. How are you going to be vigilant and sober? You need to search the scriptures. Because the devil's going to come in and he's going to lie. He's going to come in as though he's an angel of light and he's going to lie. He's going to try to pull you away from God's will. He's going to try to pull you away from the direction God would have you to go. And he's going to point you in a direction that as long as you're drunk and as long as you're not watchful and on guard, you're going to just travel along his little way. Most Christians will say there's a devil, but they act like he doesn't exist. They're not watchful. They're not sober. They just go through their daily lives over and over again, walking through life as though they're in control. Look, the truth of the matter is there's only two overwhelming powers, God and the devil. Good and evil. Righteousness and unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, evil, the devil is disguised as light. Yeah, sure, we look at the end, we look at all the damage and we can see. We can look at the wickedness in the prisons and the wickedness of the people out in the world and we can see that. That's the end. That's not the beginning. How do you think those people got there? Are people born murderers? No. That's something that the devil uses. They just didn't become a murderer just all of a sudden. They weren't all these nice people and all of a sudden, boom, they're a murderer. They weren't all these nice people and suddenly they're addicted to and dealing drugs. They weren't all these nice people and all of a sudden they're, you know, in M13, or whatever that gang's called. How'd they get there? Cowboy in a white hat told them it's okay to take this first step. That's how. I'm not talking about people being born free from sin. People are born innocent. They have not yet committed any sin. They're born innocent. But they're born in an exile where sin is inevitable. I'm talking about the real evils of the world. And one of the greatest deceptions is the fact that the devil is subtle and he deceives. And most people, he leaves right there. He doesn't push most people into the extremes of evil. He just deceives people into thinking they can go their own way. They can be drunk with the allurements of the world and all that the world and the flesh and the devil have to offer, and everything's okay. He has most people asleep, not on guard, and think it's going to be okay. And that's where he leaves most people. So wickedness and evil is not this hideous monster. Or doesn't present itself as some hideous monster. No. It's something nice. something sweet, wearing a white hat on your side, all for your benefit. He pats you on the back and it's all for your benefit. People that don't understand this will fall. People that don't understand this will reject Jesus. People that don't understand this will avoid Jesus. People that don't understand this have no desire. They used to have desire, but it's gone because they're drunk, because they're not on their guard. The devil has deceived them into thinking this pathway's okay, this pathway's right. It's righteous still, see? It's still righteous. If we continue to think that our greatest danger is not in the guise of a friend, then we're in trouble. If we continue to think that the devil's going to come head on, revealing himself for what he is right in front of us before he attacks us, we're already deceived. He's already snuck in. If we believe that we can just go about our daily lives doing whatever we do, not worry, we don't have time to read the Bible, we don't have time to talk to Jesus, we don't have time to do all these Christian things, we don't have to do that to go to heaven. Yeah, you do. You most certainly do. I don't have to pray to go to heaven. Yeah, you do. I don't have to read my Bible to go to heaven. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. If you don't believe that, you've already been deceived. You're already a couple of steps through. The devil's already got you reaching, if not biting, that fruit. The devil's already snuck in the back door, patting you on the back. Yeah, keep looking at that front door while I ravage the rest of your house. Yes, you do. To go to heaven, to be with God, you have to do those things. You have to not do other things. You have to. They're not suggestions. It's truth. To be with Jesus for eternity, you have to like Him. Who do you hang out with? People you like. You gravitate toward things you like. Toward people you like. If you don't like Jesus, you'll stay away from Him. If you don't like Jesus, you won't read His letters to you. If you don't like Jesus, you'll avoid Him. Be not deceived. The devil's going to come in and he's going to tell you, oh, that's not true. The devil's going to come in, he's going to lie to you. And he's going to tell you, oh, you don't need to do all that. Don't listen to him. You going to listen to the guy in the white hat, or you going to listen to Jesus? You going to listen to your heart that says, I do love Jesus, I just don't have time to read the Bible. I've got time for a lot of other things, don't we? Jesus knows my heart. Yeah, he most certainly does. That's where your trouble is, right there. He most certainly does. So the truth of the matter is, the devil is subtle, he's deceptive, and he will cast fear into your heart. I might not get my way if I go back in the confines of Christianity. Maybe not. Probably not. More than likely not. But that's glorious. Because like Brother Charlie said, once you get to heaven and you turn around and look back, you're going to say, oh wow, that everything that God said, that's exactly the way I would have done it if I'd have known from this vantage point. Those people that need to know where the train's going before they get on it. Those people that need, that want to satisfy their own desires and think that in the end everything's going to be okay. They've been deceived. They've been taken over by the guy in the white hat. Just think about that. Think about what Adam Clark said. We need to fear the white devil a whole lot more than the black one. That stranger with a scar on his face riding into town with a black hat, oh, we know what he's up to. Hollywood has taught us that. We know what he's up to. But it's the one with the white hat we need to watch out for. Because more times than not, he's up for deception. And he wants to destroy us.